the general manager, the owner of a consortium of hospitals. And at the beginning of the movie, he's making a presentation to a city-owned hospital that's really running into trouble. And so he stands up before these people and he says, "You really need me because you don't know how to manage hospitals. I know how to manage hospitals." And one of the council members said, "But yes, you don't really manage them very well because you cram people into them and your staff is terrible, and I don't think we want to sell out to you." And he says, "I run hospitals, not country clubs. Two people to a room, no exceptions." Well, it just so happens that fate would have it that this man, Edward Cole, gets very, very sick, and he gets put in the hospital. And we're led to believe that that it is absolutely impossible that he can't get his own private room, but for reasons of the way that it would be appearing to the public, he has to go into one of his own hospitals and share a bedroom with another man. Now, this other man is named Carter Chambers, and he's a mechanic that has been diagnosed with cancer. Now, both of these guys are lying in the hospital with cancer, and both probably are not expected to live much longer. And Carter Chambers starts to write on a pad of paper what he calls the bucket list. And Edward Cole looks at this list and he says, "What's this?" And Carter says, "Well, it was a philosophy assignment that we took when we were in college. And what we were supposed to do is write on this list all the things, a list, the bucket list, is all the things of life that we wanted to do before we kick the bucket." And so he has this list of things. Now, Carter Chambers had written the list, and Cole says, "Well, your list doesn't look very good." And he starts putting his own things on the list, and sure enough, they have a list of things to do before they die. And so they embark on a journey to do all the things that are on the bucket list. Now, if you have seen the movie, you know it's kind of a heartwarming movie, and it's very interesting, very entertaining. It's definitely a tearjerker. It is still playing in the theater, so if you want to go see it, you can go see it. Won't be playing for long, though, because it's only in one theater here in Tucson. But as I was watching the movie, I was thinking to myself, "Self," I said, "are there things on the bucket list that God wants us to put on the bucket list? As a Christian, are there things that we should think about before we get to the end of life? Are there things we should do, things we should say, things that God wants us to do, so that when we get to the end of life, we don't have any regrets having lived our life from a Christian perspective?" And the more I thought about this and the more I talked to other people, I came to the conclusion that, yes, there are things on the bucket list, the Christian bucket list, that we should have, that we should think about, that we should consider. And so for today and for the next few Sundays, we are going to take a look at a Christian bucket list, things that we should have on the bucket list. But to frame the sermon today and to really frame the series, I'd like to take a look at Solomon. Now, many of you know about Solomon. Some of you may not know about Solomon. He was the third king of Israel. And when David stepped down as king and Solomon was going to become king, God wanted to bless Solomon. So he came to Solomon and he said, "Solomon, ask me anything that you would like in this world and I'll give it to you." Now, that is a great thing, isn't it? Now, if God asked you, "What do you want in this world?" what would you put on there? iPods, cell phones, who knows what it is. But I'm sure that you would think about the things that you want if God had come to you and said, "Ask me anything you want." Solomon asks for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom. And so God came to Solomon and said, "I will give you wisdom. But because you didn't ask for wealth, because you didn't ask for power, because you didn't ask for long life, I'm going to give you all those things you didn't ask for." And the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest and the wealthiest guy that had ever lived. Pretty important guy. And at the end of his life, he wrote like a journal to talk about his life. What things that he did that were worthwhile. What things that he did that maybe weren't worthwhile. It was kind of like a reflection of his bucket list. Now, what types of things did Solomon have on his bucket list? Well, let's take a look. One of the first things that Solomon put on his list is from Ecclesiastes 2. This is right before our reading today, Ecclesiastes 2, verses 4 through 6. Solomon says, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself, and I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. Solomon built for himself a legacy. A legacy, things that people would remember him by. The problem was, is that after he built all these things, he always wanted to build more and more and more. The stuff that he built was never enough. What else did he do? Well, in chapter 2, verses 7 through 8, he says this. He says, I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasures of kings and provinces. I acquired men and women singers and a harem of, well, the delights and the hearts of men. Solomon acquired wealth. And like I said before, this, the Bible says Solomon was the richest guy that ever lived. He acquired so much wealth, he didn't know what to do with it. He acquired wealth. The problem was, wealth is never enough. And then one other thing that Solomon acquired, and this is something I think that we can really, really think about, in chapter 2, verses 10, Solomon said, I denied myself nothing, my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my work, and this was the reward, this was the reward for all my labor. Solomon sought after pleasure, all the pleasurable things of life. The problem with pleasure, of course, is that you always want more and more. And more. Because with each pleasure, you want more pleasure. And when Solomon came to the end of his life and reflected on the end of his life with his bucket list, what did he say? He says in chapter 1, verse 1, the whole frame, the whole purpose behind Ecclesiastes, chapter 1, he says this, meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Utterly meaningless. Everything is meaningless. When Solomon came to the end of his life, he realized that he could never quite get enough. He was the richest guy. He had the most pleasure, the most legacy, the most houses, the most harem, the most people, and it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough because he was always looking for something more. He could never satisfy his heart's desire. Now, I look at my life and I look at your life and I think, are we the same way? Are there things that we are looking for that we think will satisfy our life, but when we get through it, we find out it's not enough? My cousin, my nephews, I've got 6 nephew boys, 5 nephew boys, and they're all in their 20s. And they've all hiked the Appalachian Trail. Have you heard about this? Hiking the app. This is the new thing for those of you who are going to have kids that are going to be in their 20s soon. This is like the latest rage. It's like from Maine to Tennessee. It's over 2,000 miles long, and it's an actual trail. And you can stop at different places, at these rest places along the trail. You can actually hike the Appalachian Trail. And you can spend time with yourself. You can spend time with God and nature, and you can reflect on life. You can spend 3 to 4 months doing this, and you will find out what life is all about. So they all set off and hiked portions of the Appalachian Trail. And they loved it. They thought it was a great thing. But they never found the meaning of life. They thought they were going to find the meaning of life, and certainly they found out a lot about themselves and who they are, but they never got all the answers. Because there's always more to know about life. And you'd have to hike the Appalachian Trail for your whole life to even get started about thinking about the meaning of life. Now, when I was in college, we didn't hike the Appalachian Trail because it was way over there, and that's a long drive or a long flight. No, I grew up in Phoenix. We wanted to hike all the different places in Arizona. And I remember when I was in college, my friends and I decided that we were going to hike in the Matazal Wilderness area. I don't know if you've heard of this, but it's kind of north, south, just south of Payson. It's a wilderness area, so people don't go there. And we were going to experience God and nature and all these things. And so we planned this trip over spring break, 10 days in the wilderness area of the Matazel Wilderness area. And we planned for it. And we hiked it. And we got back to the parking lot. And somebody had broken into our truck and stolen the battery. This is true. Now, the trailhead is about 20 miles from the nearest highway. And we had just spent 10 days hiking, and the last thing we wanted to do was to get out to the trailhead. But we finally made it. And we're like, you know, we're like Edmund Hillary climbing, Mount Everest. We thought we'd done it. This is it. And we're driving back to Phoenix, and it's just beautiful. We're so proud of ourselves. And John Baldwin, sitting in the back seat, said, "So what are we going to do next year?" So the next year, it had to be the Grand Canyon. And the next year, all these different places, because we could never get enough. We could never get enough of this world. So when you think about the things on your bucket list, the things that you want to do before you die, you need to understand first and foremost why you have a bucket list. And the answer to that is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. It's from our reading this morning. Chapter 3, verse 11. I'd like to take a look at this. Solomon in chapter 3 says this: "He has made everything beautiful in its time." This whole world that God made is absolutely beautiful and breathtaking. He made it. It is an amazing creation that He's given to us. He has set eternity into the hearts of men, yet they cannot fathom. We cannot even fathom what God has done from beginning to end. And I want to go back and take a look at that second phrase, because this is the reason why we have a bucket list. He has set eternity into the hearts of men. He has set eternity in the hearts of men. We have a bucket list because we have this desire to see it all and to do it all. And folks, that's natural. What isn't natural is that death comes in and takes us away from completing that task. And so we have to prioritize what's on the bucket list. But we see eternity. God wants us to see eternity. And the joy that came yesterday with Easter, last Sunday with Easter, is that you and I, this natural learning to seek eternity, God broke through death and lives so that we can forever live with Him. And all of the longings and the desires in our heart will be satisfied because we will be with God forever and ever and ever. I don't know what's on your bucket list. As we go through this sermon series, we're going to be talking about some things. But the thing we need to know right off the bat is that we shouldn't really even have a bucket list. We have a bucket list because someday death will take us. But the good news I have for you today is that Jesus became human and had a bucket list. And His bucket list had one thing on it, and that was to redeem each and every one of you so that someday you could live with Him forever. In His name, amen.